You're listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Oh, we've got a favourite. Mary Hobbs is with us. She writes for the Daily Telegraph. Oh, you should go there for your news. It's like, makes you happy to read the news. You learn a lot as compared to stuff in the New Zealand Herald. And Mary Hobbs writes for them the most beautiful articles. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Rodney. How wonderful to be back. You've got me blushing. You're actually the treasure, you know.
Oh, you can sweet talk me, just your voice. tell me, you are a wonderful writer.
Well, I try. But
well, it's
you,
an interesting thing because you've got a lot of, strings to your bow or quivers in your, you got a lot of stuff you do, right? Like, it's not I'm a professional writer. You do lots of things, you know, and yet here you are writing beautiful books, but these columns that you write just capture the essence of what is the story.
Well, I do, I have had a career, I still do, in writing books and publishing, and I began writing a lot of articles at the beginning of this war, shall we say, on humanity, and my articles had to contain spirit. They had to speak to the soul of the reader. That's what I always want to do when I set out to write, because you're dealing then with truth and the inner essence, as you say, of the person who's reading the article. And to be able to touch that person, you have to want to write from being to being, as it were. I guess that's the best way to describe it.
Well, they're wonderful, and you've written a wonderful piece that you're going to cover today because it's an extraordinary story, and it just bears repeating over and over and over again because it is truly shocking, and we get so shocked that we become almost, what's that word, jaded to it, almost like another shocking thing happens and it just passes us by because your mind can't handle it. But this is Liz Gunn. And this so-called assault and our rotten police force. And it's really a story in two parts, isn't it?
Well, it is. The first part, or part one of the story that I wrote, both articles of which are on the Daily Telegraph under the opinion column, and just big thank you also for all the work that Malcolm, the editor of the Daily Telegraph, is doing. He's amazing, isn't he?
He puts out a better product than TVNZ, News Hub, Stuff, and the New Zealand Herald combined.
He does. He does.
It's a miracle.
I know. He's all over it. He's terrific. But with the story on Liz, the part one of that story was on how she came to be in the airport, Auckland Airport, that day with Jonathan, who is a professional cameraman. But they were there in a personal and private capacity. And also, obviously, all of their work has been voluntary over the last few years as well, as Liz and Jonathan have told stories of what's happening to New Zealanders in all different parts of the country. But the thing about this particular shocking incident, Rodney, is you can't unsee it. It's like, what happened? And you look at the paltry amount of footage from the touted 1,000 cameras they apparently have in the Auckland airport. But the only footage that was available after a year of it not being produced doesn't show the full assault. Not an assault that Liz or Jonathan did, but an assault that the police did on Liz and Jonathan.
Let's just concentrate on this because we'll put the family to one side. This was the poor family who were locked up in the Tokel house, literally. Couldn't go swimming, couldn't go fishing because of COVID. Ross Ardern, Jacinda Ardern, was overseeing the Tokel house. And these people were shunned and ridiculed and reviled on the small island and literally under house arrest. And it was Liz Gunn who worked so assiduously to bring their plight to our attention. And that story in itself, you could spend a week on. The horror of what happened to this poor family. Finally. They get to come home or come to New Zealand, and Liz Gunn is there, as you would, to greet them. And she has her cameraman with them. He just has a big camera because you'd film the moment. It was an important rendezvous. It was like, you know, meeting Dr. Livingston. It was a big deal. So they go to the airport. Now you pick it up and tell me what happened.
Well, and I just want to say I endorse what you said, Rodney, about the travails of the family who were locked up in their home for a year. And even their teenage children were as well. And one of them spoke to Liz about just her upset at not being able to go anywhere. And the retribution for that from the New Zealand government was they came and removed her school computer. That was the only contact she had to be able to do her homework. I mean, it's beyond belief, but as I understand it, NZDSOS was also helping with the family, and other lawyers too were working behind the scenes along with Liz. But Liz was the one that was definitely very strongly keeping in touch with them and sending them whatever funding she could raise and helping the family in whatever way she could, as you say. But with that second article, is New Zealand hovering on the brink of a police state? I did say, imagine arriving at Auckland Airport on a Saturday to meet friends flying in, and you gather with other Kiwis there for the same purpose. And you can imagine, Rodney, can't you? It's a festive occasion.
Yes.
And everyone's excited and looking forward to this rendezvous. You know, it's a Love Actually moment, isn't it?
It's a love moment.
Yeah, totally. And so Jonathan was just moseying around the airport with his camera and taking photos and doing a bit of footage, and nobody bothered him. But within minutes of Liz arriving, suddenly there was a security worker there saying they couldn't film because they didn't have commercially because they didn't have a license or permission. And so Liz tried to explain that they didn't need one because they weren't there in a commercial capacity, and the woman didn't seem to understand. And she started walking away saying she was going to they were going to be trespassed and the police were going to be called. And Liz, you could tell that she was perturbed about this because you don't expect this in New Zealand, do you?
No.
Alien to our country. You know, you could imagine somebody saying, if they felt this great need to, you can't film on a commercial basis here. But as soon as somebody said, well, no, that's not the case, they'd say, okay, well, no problem. and they'd walk off, wouldn't they?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, she was walking off and Liz was trying to get her attention and just softly touched her on the shoulder, I think it was. And fast forward a year or so and Liz is charged with assault. And the police arrive and it's not until they've attacked both Liz and Jonathan, Liz just asked them what it was, what law they were operating from. She didn't get an answer. And within 18 seconds, according to one of the constables, they were on the floor and arrested. And they weren't told they were arrested until they were on the floor. I mean, Liz ended up with a fractured wrist and torn shoulder ligaments that she still suffers from today. Now, as a New Zealander, I have always thought, Rodney, that when you... the justice system is there and average Kiwis have to be able to see that justice has been done. Isn't that right? You should be able to look at a judgment and say, oh, yeah, well, that's fair. That's good. That was a right decision. But the everyday person in the street must be able to surely see that.
Yes.
So if you say, well, no, the person who was charged with assault wasn't the person who had the broken wrist and the torn shoulder ligaments and was a 63-year-old grandmother who was waiting to greet people at the airport, who were friends. No, it was the 63-year-old grandmother who was charged with assault who tapped the security worker on the shoulder lightly to get her attention as she was walking away.
And she's been...
I mean, beggars belief.
Not only has she been charged, but she's been found guilty.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
So...
but...
You, it is inconceivable. We're both staggered by this because we know exactly what it's like. Someone comes up and they're trying to trespass you in the airport. And you say, well, hang on. And you remonstrate.
Yeah.
And they go to walk away. And you literally just say, hang on a minute. And you put your hand on their shoulder to attract their attention. And I understand that's not assault. I mean, normally when you touch someone, it's assault. But if it's for the purposes of attracting attention, I understand that's not assault. That was all it was. There's no injury. There's no intent to hurt.
No.
Nothing.
Mm-mm.
She was convicted.
That's right.
Of a criminal assault. Meanwhile, the police are called. Now, ordinarily, you expect the police to figure out the situation. So you walk in here as a police officer and you say, well, look, clearly there's no threat to anyone here, right? But there's a dispute going on. So let us figure out what this dispute is.
That's right. Like I said in my article, the police of yesteryear would have wandered into the airport and said, what's going on, guys?
That's
happening?
Let's all take a chill pill here. And
that's right.
In 18 seconds, you achieve nothing.
That's right.
That's a pause by me wondering what I'm going to say next.
Yeah,
and 18 seconds of arriving on the scene, they've put Liz Gunn and the cameraman on the ground. Mm-hmm. And explain they're arrested, and they don't know why.
That's right. And then her arm is twisted right up behind her back. Right up, painfully. Chinese burn administered. And her wrist wrenched, fractured, and she now... traumatized, deeply traumatized.
Absolutely. I mean, if a policeman did that.
And who wouldn't be?
Who wouldn't be? If a policeman did that to me, I would have a fractured wrist, because as you get older, you don't bend quite the same. And your bones, I mean, you never do this to an elderly lady. And I say elderly, over 60. You'd never do this to an over 60-year-old woman. And remember, she's...
I don't think the police should do it to anyone.
She's minding her own business, really.
Totally. You know, it was peaceful until the police arrived.
So...
And the fracas was caused by the police. So... It just beggars belief.
But here's the scary
absolutely
thing,
absolutely beggars belief.
I talked
to the wonderful Dan Picknell, the former frontline policeman, and he said, he shares our abhorrence for what happened, and he said that up until 2022, at which point he left the police, police themselves were advised to touch the arm of a compliant person they were arresting. So Dan asks, are they now guilty of assault?
Yes.
And well, he said up until 2022, when he was there, he said that while he was in the police, especially in recent years, it was incredible. Always encouraged that minor issues should not make it to court, but could be, you know, they should be sorted out with good communication. And in his view, this should never have been put before the court. And he asks, did the airport employee make a formal assault complaint to the police of her own volition, or was she encouraged to? By police to try to cover for the absolute mess they had have made of dealing with Liz and Jonathan. That was his question. Because he said there would have been no time to obtain witness statements from that employee or other witnesses for any claimed assault before the police themselves actually assaulted and arrested Liz and Jonathan for trespass. And in his view, and mine, most certainly, this was an unlawful arrest anyway, as they were not given reasonable time to leave and hadn't been told they were trespass before being set upon and assaulted.
This would be a shocking story if it was one policeman. But the fact of the matter is there were two of them. The fact of the matter is this would have been kicked upstairs. The decision was made to proceed with charges, so Crown Law has been involved. The police lawyers have been over it. Because of the media interest and because of Liz Gunnan, this would have gone all the way to the commissioner's desk for sure. He would be across it. And then it's come before a judge.
Mm.
Now, you'd expect a judge or Crown Law or someone who we actually think is there for us. Right.
That's right.
You'd think someone in there would say, hang on, what the hell? Nope.
That's right.
This is political bullying by the police.
Mm-hmm.
It's a judicial, a political attack by the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has raised an alarm.
And that's damning.
Totally. No MPs jumping up and down. No leader of the opposition or leader in the government or minister saying, what is going on here?
That no, gutless, no police useless association.
Cowards.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
We put this alongside what happened at Albert Park,
mm-hmm.
where not a tap on the shoulder, but a lady is brutally assaulted. It was a fractured eye socket. What happened
shocking
there?
Shocking injury.
What happened there, Mary?
He was let off. He pleaded guilty and was let off. Now, if this is law, if this is justice, I have the wrong definition for it. Because to me it looks like the total opposite.
Well, we've got a problem too, because we have nowhere to go.
No.
We have nowhere to go. Well, where does Liz complain to?
I suppose.
Yeah, good luck. Do you and I complain to? Because no one's interested.
No.
I mean, it's like normally you'd go off to see an opposition MP and they'd say, that's terrible, we'll pick this up. I'll get into this. Or you'd take it to TVNZ and they'd say, oh, this is shocking.
That's right.
And
but you know, the other thing about it, I suppose what the Minister of Justice would say and the Minister of Police would be they can't interfere in a court decision. Would that be right? They can't comment on the court decisions.
Of course they can.
Yeah.
Of course they can.
Well,
of course they can comment on it. They're more than entitled to comment. It's no longer before the courts, and who cares? You know, like you have politicians, not to run around like you know, a bunch of mealy mouths. You actually have politicians to actually stand up for when things go wrong. That's the point.
That's right. Like I was thinking, if I was a politician at that time, I would have been thumping my desk.
Yes.
Saying, get me the Commissioner of Police. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
You know? And the Minister of Justice. They're missing an action, Rodney, aren't they?
Well, it could be
about this.
It could be your nana, right? It could be your mother. It could be the Minister of Police's mother. But they don't care because Liz Gunn is a conspiracy theorist. She's anti-vax. Oh, she's questioning COVID. Oh, she doesn't think very highly of the government or the opposition. Oh, lock her up.
And she's got a political party of her own.
Lock her up.
Well, you know, is that the message they want us to get?
I think it's absolutely the message they want you to get. And it's absolutely working on Kiwis and it's working around the Western world because people are too scared to speak up.
That's right. In retrospect, Liz and Jonathan could not have shone more of a spotlight on the creeping spread of injustice and brutality in New Zealand that many of us weren't fully aware of until now. Right now, it is in front of our faces. And I came across a quote by Martin Luther King, and he said, the silence of the good people is more dangerous than the brutality of the bad people.
Absolutely.
Isn't that powerful?
Right. Very powerful. Mm. And it's absolutely right.
So
of course, we add to this the police. Yeah. Posey Parker's two things shocked me. One was the police behaviour at the Freedom Village.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I never thought I'd see that sort of behaviour here in New Zealand.
Oh, me either.
The second thing was them standing by while ladies were assaulted and not offering safety. At Posey Parker's presentation. Those two things shone a big light on the police, so much so now that I was recently walking last season at the ski field and I was walking down to the car park and there were three police officers walking towards me. And my entire life, my immediate reaction would be to say, good day, sirs. Thank you for your service. I had a visceral response that wouldn't have been any different if there'd been three mongrel mobsters and their full gang regalia and tattoos. I looked upon these guys as thugs. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I think that there are still some very fine people in the police, and I know that you do too. I'm quite sure of it, and I think they are as disgusted by what's happened here as we are. We have quite a lot to do with the local police, and they are also wonderful, you know. They're very similar to the Dan Picknell type of policeman, frontline policeman. And
yes.
And we get on very well with them, and we respect them like we always have, you know. I mean, always there's a few bad eggs somewhere, but to see this front and centre and to have no visible punishment or justice or bringing to justice of those people, those police who assaulted Liz and Jonathan is a shocking indictment on Parliament, actually, and how everything's, you know, it's just justice has become injustice, and
yes.
And police who are there to keep the peace and to protect peaceful people going about their business, it seems to be there's been a switch. And in retrospect, Liz and Jonathan couldn't have shone more of a spotlight on this creeping spread of injustice and brutality, as I think I meant. It's in plain sight. And if we look away, it will happen more. So that is why it is imperative, I think, for us to stand up peacefully and say no. No, this is not who we want to represent us as police. No, this is not who we want to represent us in the judiciary. And I do have to say, Rodney, that I'm very grateful, so very, very grateful for yourself, RCR, the Daily Telegraph, RNZ Media, Counterspin, the Health Forum, and other writers who are bringing attention to this and banging on the tables in lieu of. And I am grateful to RCR for highlighting this today in this interview. And you, your darling self.
We have this online sort of loving, you and I, don't we? Because I just love you so much. In a good way. It's so lucky because it's barely tolerable to get through the days when you see this happening to your once great country, but at least we're in a position to read about it, to talk about it, to debate it. If we were in without RCR, without the Daily Telegraph, without Counterspin, without these other outlets, we would be imprisoned in our minds and we'd be shouting at clouds and talking to our neighbours who know nothing of it. We would probably know nothing of it. That's how close it is. That's how close it is to being completely shut down. I mean, there's a lot of men involved in this, the judges, the police, head of airport security, head of the police, head of the police association. How do men look at this and then look away? and justified. How do they do that? What?
But I was also thinking.
What
do,
would
Rodney
they say? What would they say to their mother?
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned in the article, there were three policemen actually that day, two involved in the assaults on Liz and Jonathan, but there was a third one there as well. And he said to Liz, this will all go away if you just admit you did something wrong.
Jeepers.
Now,
jeepers.
Nursing a fractured wrist and torn shoulder ligaments at the time, Liz was tempted. But she did. She's got a tremendous amount of courage, Liz, and she thought, what about the people who come after me if I do that? And I haven't done anything wrong, so why should I say I've done something wrong when I haven't? I was just here to meet people at the airports.
Well, there you have it.
And I look at
No, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's New Zealand 2024, where you go along to the airport to greet someone with nothing but peace in your heart. No one who knows Liz Gunn could think of her as a, what would be the word, a menace. I remember her going in on her show many, many times in TVNZ days. Lovely, lovely lady. You go there to meet your friends. You have a cameraman to record it. Not a commercial operation. You're perfectly entitled to be there. Security come up and attempt to trespass you. You touch the shoulder to catch attention when they're walking off. Next minute you're on the ground. Forcibly hurt, permanently hurt. Turns out you've been arrested, you're charged, and you're found guilty of assault. No one to turn to, because this is the New Zealand police and the courts, and their political overlords all concur. We're fortunate to have Mary Hobbs writing about it and RCR talking about it, but we have to get fully appraised of what has happened to our great country, do we not?
We do. And, you know, Rodney, if we look at it through a wider lens as well, what of those police that did such a vicious attack on two peaceful Kiwis? What do they do when they go home that night and see their children, if they have children or wife or family? And they're asked, how was your day? What do they say? Do they say, oh, it was great. I beat up a 63-year-old grandmother and fractured her wrists and tore her shoulder ligaments? Or was she kicking up a fuss? No. No, she was just asking me what law I was operating under. What about the other guy? Did he attack you? No, he was just standing there with his camera. It's chilling. And in the court, Liz was very upset by the replaying of the footage of her being attacked. The next day, the court played it 9 additional times. Now, I talked to a doctor about that when I was writing this article, and I said, surely you would never do that to a traumatised person who'd been assaulted, play their assault back over and over again if it was deeply upsetting to them, which in all likelihood it would be. And he said, you would never do that, ever. And she was just told to answer the question. What I heard. Where are the souls? Where's the humanity? Where is the compassion and the empathy? We can't lose this because those are all hallmarks of the spiritual essence of all of us, and we have to always nurture men and women's humanity to each other and compassion, kindness.
It's been amazing to me to watch the Fauci, him being questioned in front of, what is it, the Senate or the Congress, I don't know which, and I've been watching the clips. And he's actually just a stupid guy. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I was reflecting on Hannah Arendt describing what the Nazi leadership was like. And she coined that great phrase, the banality of evil. And it's like these second-rate people get power, like Fauci, totally second-rate guy. But with that mantle of power, they become the big cheese. And because they're stupid, they bully and push. And that's how I feel with these policemen. They're not gentlemen. They're not clever. They're just stupid guys with power who wield it. And they get the green light to be violent, clearly. They get the green light to turn away when women are being attacked.
Yeah.
There we have it. If you want to read these,
Rodney. Yeah. I think we've got to find out where this is coming from. You know, who do you think it would be that would have made it totally okay for those guys to do what they did and defend them?
I actually think the only way they could know that it was okay to do that was that there's been a massive culture shift within the police. And I think there's been a massive culture shift in the police since the COVID times, like everything. Every organization in New Zealand has a pre-COVID time and now. And so the police, we discovered, enjoyed the overreach. They enjoyed policing every aspect of COVID. And there you go. They were doing it for public safety. And that culture changed. And I think we see it over and over again. Now, I think the culture was shifting for some years within the police, but it fell off the edge through the COVID times. And I think the police quite liked it.
Yeah, and the ones who didn't are very disturbed by it or have left.
There you have it. If you want to read these two great columns and keep up with what Mary's writing, of course, we'll have her back, but go to the Daily Telegraph. It's just a great news source, but best of all, you get to read Mary Hobbs, who's this beautiful writer about the state we're in. Oh, there's also Guy Hutchard and Wally Richards makes regular appearances in the Daily Telegraph. So please do go to that site. That was Mary Hobbs.
Very kind of you, Rodney.
Oh, no, my pleasure. This is Mary Hobbs. You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. I'm having one of those moments where I'm at a loss of words because I don't know what it is, how these people think they're men or gentlemen. They're not. They're none of these things. And they wear the badge. They put a uniform on and go to work. Oh, my goodness. Send me a text, 2057, email me, inbox@rallycheck.radio. Thank you so much for listening.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.